We have got a huge announcement.
Tommy, you want me to tell him?
Should I tell it?
No, I'll tell him.
No, let me tell it.
We'll both tell him at the same time. You ready?
Saturday, February 10th.
Me and Big Tommy Buns.
We will be at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada.
One show, February 10th, 2024.
Bert Kreischer and me, the two bears.
Pre-sale starts Wednesday at 10 a.m.
And the code word is bears.
Use the code bears to get your tickets before general on sale starts this Friday at 10 a.m. This show will sell out.
Bert Kreischer and I together.
If you're coming to the big game, bet on your team now and bet on your boys. We will see you there. I can't wait.
This week on Two Bears, One Cave, chicks yell out "F me, Tom, too" at my shows. But when we turn the lights on, they look like a f***ing basset hound.
Oh, you're never going to be able to perform in Atlanta again. Promise?
Wow. Like, HBO is like, are you trans and missing a limb?
Like, I've had my nipple bitten. Women will ask, like, can I grab your
I think we have very different fan bases.
I'll trade you.
100%. Cheers. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. Just ask our very own Josh Zolo, whose entire wireless production facility plan lifestyle has been completely revamped and overwhelmed by Mint Mobile savings. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Normally, when you tune in, you're horrified to see my co-host and his disgusting face. But today, we have a treat for you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the very handsome Matt Rife.
We have a studio audience?
There's an audience here, man.
What? Oh, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. We were talking, and you're like, I thought we were podcasting.
Did we talk for like 20 minutes before this?
I know. No, I'm super excited that you're here. It's been, you know, I guess it's obvious to say, but it's probably been a pretty wild ride for you in the last... When did things like really change? Because I remember... Okay, I'll tell you, like, it's always from different perspectives. I remember, like, I was in a vehicle on tour, and my photographer was in the back, and he goes, you know Matt Rife? And I was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, you seen, like, his crowd work? And I was like, no. He's like, you haven't seen the clips? And I was like, the fuck are you talking about? I had no idea what he was talking about. And he's like, here, check this out. So he sends me a clip, and I was like, yeah, it's really good. And then I look, and it says, like, 19 million views. I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah,
and dude. Then it was like, I looked at the next one. It said, like, 25 million views. I was like, what is going on? Like, it was an explosion. Mm-hmm. And then it was, like, one of those things. It's like somebody points something out, and I just started
to hear.
You
see it everywhere.
I started to hear your name more. People will be like, oh, you do, you know, Stranger, you do comedy. Do you know Matt Rife? I was like, yeah, what the fuck are you talking about?
Meanwhile, you've been on Netflix, like, four times.
Well, it wasn't even that. It's like, oh, they keep mentioning his name. And then I saw, like, I think I went to your page, and I had seen you announce, I think, your millionth follower on Instagram or something like that.
Okay.
Like, I saw it, like... Maybe it like scrolled down a little bit. I was like, and then it was like 2 million, 3 million. I was like, this jump is like very, very, it's growing in the TikTok thing. So like your life a year ago, let's say August, September of last year, has this already begun? I'm trying to figure out.
No, it was August of last year was the first time that like I started to get a bit of a following when people would start to come out to a show. July of last year, so 13 months ago, I was maybe profiting $150 to fly myself out to do a one-nighter in Philly that 80 people would show up.
So a year ago. Yeah. So this is the part of it that, like, when we were texting a little while back about all the stuff going on,
yeah,
I was like, you know, I was like, don't lose your mind. Don't go crate. Like, don't flip out, because it feels like the craziest thing for me is the rate at which, not that it's happening.
Oh yeah.
It's just so fast.
Oh, incredibly.
It's so fast. You know,
you want to grab all of it while you can. It's so, sure. It's so scary, because I still feel like in 2 months from now, I'm back to begging people to please come see me at a one nighter in the middle of nowhere,
which is the normal way to, everyone can't believe it's happened. But
yeah,
most of the like ascent, like the growth for people is like this very gradual, you know what I mean? Like, I remember, like, it's not like that for everybody, but like, I remember for me, like, the first time I realized that it happens differently for people, because you only know your own path, yeah, right? So, like, you know, I had a special come out. I shot one in 2013, came out in 2014, and by it came out like March of that 14.
Was your first special with Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so.
So it was like 2014, it comes out. By the end of the year, I'm selling out clubs. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is rad. But it's like, that's what it was.
Yeah.
The next year starts, I'm doing rock clubs. And I do that for like a tour. Like,
well, can I ask this? When you first started to sell out the comedy clubs for a weekend, in your mind, were you like, oh, I've made it? Like, this is the epitome of what I needed to be in my career?
I was so excited that was happening, right? Like, I was like, I can't believe this is happening. I'm like 34, 35 or something. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm finally getting, like, you know, like a check that you're like, oh, I can actually do something with this. I think I was like you, where I was like, book it all, like book everything.
Yeah.
And I was also doing the thing where I would go book you learn that like agents hate booking one nighters, like at clubs and stuff. They're like, just do the weekend. But sometimes I would be like, yo, this is like fucking Lafayette.
Yeah.
Like, I go, just give me one night. And they would go like, nah, they don't want to do it. And you realize why, because the club goes, we don't want them for a night. Mm-hmm. We want them for like 3 nights.
Yeah.
But I would insist, like, I want to do that. And then I go on the next night, put me in Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Yeah, route it all together.
And they were like, what? Because I was like, I can get 100% or close to it of all these one-nighters and route together this week that makes it worth it. And then they go, oh, it becomes undeniable, because it all worked.
Yeah.
They don't want to do it at first. They just want you to, they want the, because the club goes, put them here, Cleveland, 3 nights, six shows.
He's here for the weekend.
That's it. That's all they want to do. It's like, it's easier for them, right?
Yeah.
That if you do one night, then who are we going to get for the other night?
So
like,
yeah,
it's because this whole thing. But like, it was like this gradual thing. And then after the rock clubs tour, I did another special. It comes out, and then I'm moving into small theaters. At the same time for that second special, I remember I ran into Ali Wong, and her first special came out, which was a monster special. Monster special. It did bananas numbers. And so she went from, I'm not selling tickets. And I didn't realize that at first. She was like, hey, like, you know, can I ask you some questions? I was like, yeah. I was like, so here's what's going to happen. Because I'm going from my experience. I was like, you'll probably start to like sell out clubs, and then you move into, you know, like maybe like theaters. And she's like, yeah, I'm doing like Union Hall in New York. I was like, oh, that's great. She's like, I'm doing like 9 shows there.
I was like,
oh, I don't know. I don't think that we should. I'm not the person to give you advice. I think we have a different thing going on. I was like, what the fuck? She was like, yeah.
Dude, she exploded, man.
Exploded.
I mean, now she's up for like multiple Emmys for her new show.
I mean,
insane.
Yeah. And her, people don't know that, like, so Allie is, she's open about it, so I'm not revealing. So she doesn't like huge venues.
Really?
No. So like, you know, she could do like a bunch of arenas.
Mm-hmm.
When she did San Francisco,
yeah,
which is her hometown, she, you know, they were like, hey, do the Oracle Arena. She was like, fuck no. She did, you know, the Masonic. It's an awesome theater. She did 19 there.
19?
Yeah. Or like in LA.
Too many.
I know. She's like, no. She just parks. She's just like, I'll just take the family and hang out there for 3 weeks.
Jesus. Well, that, I mean, that's, I guess that if you're just using it as a residency, space it out. Did she do 19
likes,
in a row?
I mean, like over
God
the course
damn
of like probably a few days off. Wiltern in LA, great venue. 14, 15, yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, you're like, just do the fucking Staples. And she's like, no, because she doesn't like the show, which I get. Like, she's done big ones. She's like, She doesn't even like 5,000 seaters. She's like,
see, I like both extremes. I like a comedy club and I like the bigger arenas. The in between is not my comfort zone for sure, because it's just intimate enough.
Yeah,
that people will still yell out shit. In my experience, the bigger theaters, like a 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 one,
yeah,
is big enough that nobody wants to look fucking stupid by trying to yell out and ruin the show.
True.
Or they know they're so far away, they don't want to ruin it.
Yeah.
And comedy clubs, I like it because it's so intimate that like I can dive into some crowd work if I really want to do it.
Yeah. So how are you? Okay, we got a little sidetracked.
Sorry.
No. So this is like less than a year.
Mm-hmm.
What are you feeling like with going from I'm making $150 to fly for a one-nighter,
uh-huh,
to everybody knows your name, everybody's saying it, you announce a tour that sells out in 48 hours.
Mm.
I mean, you're turning down attitude. Like, what does it feel like?
It feels fucking exhausting, to be honest. It's the first time in my life that I ever had to realize, like, be careful what you wish for.
Right.
Because the reality can be so much harder than what you think your dream scenario is going to be.
Sure.
It doesn't feel real at all.
Right.
It feels like I'm getting a lucky experience.
Right.
Which sucks a little bit. Like, I definitely don't get to enjoy it as much as I feel like I should be.
You're not, like, sitting in it yet, though,
no,
too.
No, it doesn't like, feel like... Yeah. All of my friends are like, dude, you did the thing.
Yeah.
You made it.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as you don't fuck up,
right,
you're not gonna have to worry about money for the rest of your life. You're gonna be fine.
It's pretty crazy.
You'll be able to at least do comedy clubs for the rest of your life, no matter how bad it goes.
It's kinda, I think about that all the time.
Really?
All the time. I mean, like, I told my agent, I'm like, if I can stay, because I know that like the upper end of it, which is like the arena stuff that I'm doing, is a window. Like, you don't do arenas for 20 years. It's a window.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, maybe I get to do it a couple cycles, like a couple tours.
Mm.
I'm like, if I can stay in theaters for the rest of my career, meaning I'm like 60 and I call them and I go, hey, can you book like these theater markets?
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a fucking 1,200 seat or something. Like, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah, of course.
Like, that would be amazing.
Yeah, you can't stay at the top forever is also another thing. We were talking about off air, Ralphie May
would always
say to me all the time. He used to reference Dane Cook all the time. He used to say, like, you can't live at the mountaintop forever.
No.
Eventually, you do have to go down. And that's why you have to be nice to everybody you meet on the way up.
That's why
you have to be grateful for all the experiences you have on the way up and try to enjoy it because, yeah, exactly. That moment is only for a window. You're not going to be there forever.
I mean, some windows obviously last longer.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that, like, you know, I'm super grateful just to have experienced what I've experienced and be able to work at that level. But, you know, part of your brain is also like, oh, yeah. Like, even, you know, like a Kevin Hart stop doing two arena shows.
Yeah.
He does one.
Yeah.
And you go like, oh, that's, but it's like, that's a reduction in his workload and all, like.
Well, quality of life I've learned has become like way more
the
important.
Fact that you're, that this just happened for you and you're this young and you were able to go, I'm turning down one of these added show requests. Mm-hmm. Says like it's a very wise thing that you're able to do at this stage.
Well, I've been so lucky to get so much good advice. Like I was with Chappelle in Yellow Springs at his summer camp that he does out there, and we were talking about my tour, and he was just like he was giving so many kind words. And one thing he did say in all of the tour dates we had is he said, "Remember, pigs get slaughtered." He goes, "You don't have to do everything all right now." He goes, "If this is going to be your longevity, you have to take care of yourself
and do it
when you need it." He goes, if you can do 20 theater shows, you can do 20 6 months from now. You can do 10 now, 10 6 months
but
from
none
now.
Of us want to hear that when it's said
no
to us
of course
the first time.
Of
I was
course.
The same way. Everybody said the same thing. Here's how bad it is. I was saying that to other people.
Uh-huh.
I was like, man, you fucking pigs get slaughtered, and then I would sign up for the opposite.
Oh, you fuck.
Yeah, because like it's so hard to like in the here's the thing, they get you too, dude. Like they get you. Meaning like you have your like this is what I'm doing. And it's just like the offers come to you and you're just like, I remember like what they'll do too is they work back a week.
Yeah.
So like they're like, how about Thursday, Friday, Saturday, like Nashville, Charlotte, Raleigh. And you're like, that sounds like a great week.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go, you know, Wednesday. There's
Greensboro's got
right
a small
there.
Arena
it's
right down the
right
street.
There. You want to do Wednesday?
That's exactly
and you're like,
how it works.
Yeah, you go, yeah. And then they go, you know, Tuesday. Richmond is like not far from Greensboro.
Uh-huh.
And you go, okay. And
now you have
go,
a Monday off.
And then they go, you know, Monday. And so you go, oh. And then you look and you're like, oh, I've done that 10 times now?
Yeah.
So now you're just doing full weeks.
Oh, absolutely. You
know? Yeah, that's how it.
But I'm lucky enough now that I have like my moral bases covered. Like, we're closing on getting my mom a house this week. So, like, that's just stuff.
How exciting is that?
It's incredible, except for my mom doesn't know what the fuck she's talking about.
Really?
When I call,
does she know about the house?
She knows about the house. And okay. I wish my
is
biggest
it in
mistake.
Ohio?
No, God, no. Okay. Georgia.
Okay. God, no.
No, once my grandpa passed away, I was like, we have to get everyone the fuck out of Ohio so I never have to go back here ever again.
Oh, you don't like Ohio?
I don't like Ohio, but funny enough, I like Atlanta worse than any part of Ohio.
You like?
I told her if she moved anywhere close to Atlanta, I'd never come visit her.
Yeah, I think I saw, just scrolling, I saw a clip of you shitting on Atlanta.
Yeah, dude, fuck that place. And people were like, oh, you never going to be able to perform in Atlanta again. Promise?
Wow.
then drive to Athens or Savannah if you want to see me.
So Atlanta is your... Now, did you shoot there? Is that why you hate it? Did you...
I lived there for...
Oh, you lived there?
I lived there for the summer between my junior and senior year of high school. My first manager owned a comedy club down there.
Oh.
And yeah, he found me on Twitter. It's this long story. So that summer I had off. Obviously, I had no plans for the summertime. I took a Greyhound down to Atlanta and I would just sleep on comics couches down there over the summer and do like 9 to 15 shows a week at this club. Like, he would just put me
on every show.
Uptown Comedy Corner.
Okay.
Have you heard of it?
No, I'm trying to think of because I did, what was the famous longest running kind of club there?
Punchline.
Yeah. And then I did that
Laughing Skull. Yeah. Yeah. Those are great venues. This was nothing like those. This was like the premier black comedy club in the country. Like, it was one of the most feared rooms in the world.
Uptown.
Oh, yeah. So to be a white comic was like the worst thing you could be. Yeah. Like, people would take out their keys and jingle them at you. Like, it was an intense experience, but it made you ready for fucking anything.
Anything. Yeah, yeah.
And black crowds are the best comedy audiences in the entire world.
I remember in LA.
It's a real respect.
Doing the Comedy Union.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a black club on Pico.
Did you ever go to the J Spot by the airport?
I did another black club. I don't know if it was like closer to downtown, but I forget the name of it. It was like a little room.
Was it Garrett Morris?
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. What was that place called?
Garrett Morris's Comedy Club. It was like in a homeless shelter in downtown
LA. It was. Yeah.
You would have to go up like 9 stories of steps or some shit.
And I did the Union a lot. I remember doing the Union regularly.
I got my first TV credit ever was from performing that. I did BET's Comic View when I was 17.
Jesus.
And the show got canceled right before my episode. So it never even aired.
I did BET once too.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
It was called One Mic Stand. It was the follow-up to that. And
hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker. And we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplished something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dude, here's the worst part about it. So we're backstage and it's a mix of people. The audience is all black, but the comics, there's like, I think there's 10 of us taping.
Uh-huh.
Probably 6 black dudes and chicks and then like 4 white people. And the first 3 comics that go up are black and eat the biggest bowl of dog shit that I've ever seen. So we're like, fuck. I mean, like, they came off sweating with like a like a scared look.
To be fair, they sweat during a good set.
That's true. That is true. They had towels and stuff, you know. But I was like, holy shit. Because also at a taping, you're like, it's added pressure. You're
nervous. Oh, it's nerve-wracking, yeah.
And you're watching, you're like, wait, the black comics are bombing here? Like, we're going to fucking die, you know?
Do you remember who else was on it with you, white comic-wise?
Well, I remember that, is her name Paula Bell?
Paula Bell, I believe so, yeah.
Look up Paula Bell, is that...
If it's who I'm thinking of, she's a beast. I've seen her murder.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she goes up there. Man, I will never forget this. She's just like all of us watched four people eat shit. I mean, really eat shit. And she goes up there and is like, fuck you to this crowd and murders.
She's Bernie Max it.
She absolutely. And she murders and I'm next. So I get the benefit of essentially it's almost like having, you know, in the scenario, like somebody open and get the show going. And yeah. I was like, can we get me out there right now?
Of course.
And they were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I got out there and had like, you know, a good set. And I was like, but she's the one that flipped the room. Like she flipped the room.
Oh, I love that.
And Kevin Hart was the host.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And it was like he was, you know, on his way. It wasn't like who he is today. Mm-hmm. But you saw like how charismatic this dude was.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had like, he had that thing that people talk about movie stars like Tom Cruise having where like he talks to you and you're like, oh shit.
Just like, captivating.
So engaged with you.
Yeah.
Remember I said it before. He said, he was like, oh, he's like, everybody's talking about you, man. And I was like, really? Like, I was like, no one's fucking talking. What are you talking about?
Shut up.
But he was like, you're selling you on it. You're like, oh, cool, cool. Like, he just,
that's,
you know,
so cool. I'm glad. I'm happy to know he's always been nice. I've met him a handful of times, and he has always been so kind to me.
So nice. Yeah.
Oh man, I love that you did BET.
Yeah.
My mom has never I don't think registered any of my career achievements. I don't think.
Yeah.
When I got BET, she was like, "Oh, that's is it a TV thing?"
Is it
and
TV?
I was like, "Yeah, we don't have that channel.
We don't have it."
And then I did MTV, and it was a black show as well with Wild Now.
Oh
and
yeah.
She was like,
"What was that like? Is that?"
It was.
I remember that show like. Kind of on the periphery, like I wasn't watching the show, but it was like, you know, it's part of pop culture.
It's like ridiculousness now, like it's always on, you know.
Yeah,
what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
It was the first real thing that put me on the map for my career, and it was the best learning experience I could have gone through because I had no idea how TV worked whatsoever, and I didn't know how competitive being on set was. So being around all these comics who were like great improvisers and great stand-ups and rappers and everything just threw me into such an uncomfortable environment. Like I was forced to learn shit like really fast and really well in order to even have an opportunity to get on an episode.
Yeah,
because that show is like it's like an NBA roster. Well, more like an NFL roster where there's, you know, 12 cast members per episode, but there's like 25 cast members. So you're like competing for episodes basically. And my role on there was like the white guy, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
And oh my God, I was so miserable because everyone has their role on there. If there's a gay dude, you're only doing gay jokes. If you're a white dude, you're only doing white jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just lucky to not be the gay dude. And I remember like my second season was going really well on there and everybody kept coming up and be like, oh man, you about to be like the next Gary Owen. And I was like,
another Ohio guy.
Who I fucking love. Gary Owen is a beast.
Yeah,
he's a good friend, a fucking awesome comedian.
Yeah.
But it's a very niche lane that I knew I didn't want to just do.
Yeah.
I didn't want to just perform
the
black audience.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I've always prided myself on being trying to be for
everybody.
But
did you, because it sounded like with the Atlanta stuff, were you like, primarily doing black crowds?
Yeah.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I grew up doing just that.
So then your comedy naturally start to play to black crowds because like you're conditioning
but
yourself
that was
there?
Just because of my personality. When I grew up was all with black friends.
Oh, I got you.
Like,
okay.
All of them growing up was black. I've always been far more comfortable around black people than I ever have been with white
really?
People. White people suck so bad, dude. We're so annoying. We're not fun at all.
That's very true.
It's so frustrating.
I know. I can't get any more black people here, but it's true. They're a lot of
fun. In Austin, are you trying to bring him down here?
Well, here at the office we have one. It's fine, but I mean,
I haven't seen one since I've been in here actually.
Oh, he's in the booth. We try to keep
a painting
him. Yeah, there's another one. Oh, that counts, the painting. So I guess we have two. Don't and enough with the paintings. Let's not go to three.
Yeah, so how many paintings do you have in here?
There's a number of paintings.
Are they all people you know?
People we've shown, highlighted. I don't know if I know them all. I don't know if I want to meet them all.
I wanted to ask actually, what's the record behind you?
Gary Clark Jr.
Who is Gary Clark Jr.?
Really?
Yeah. Who is that?
He's a very, very talented guitar player, singer, rock star.
Like currently?
Currently here, lives in Austin.
Then shout Austin. Out to Gary, Clark, Gary Jr. Clark Jr.
Also, just so you know, black.
Oh, yeah. Thank God.
Yep.
Can you get him in for the studio?
I would love to. I would love to have Gary Clark Jr. here. Yeah.
Have you had any musicians on the show yet?
Have we had musicians on the show? There he is. There's Gary Clark Jr.
Oh, yeah. He's fucking black.
Rips, dude. Like, if you see this guy play guitar.
Is he from here in the South?
Is he from here? I don't know if he's from here. He lives here.
The name does sound familiar.
No, he's badass, dude. He's won Grammys and like he's.
What music do you predominantly listen to?
Predominantly?
Yeah.
Probably hip hop.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you ever go old?
Old?
Yeah.
Like how old?
Like I'm really big.
Your
like,
old might be just my current.
Yeah, touche. I think like I'm a huge like 50s through 80s fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love it. Like I'm a huge like Sam Cooke fan. I love old shit.
Too. I mean, I grew up, my dad was a big Motown guy. So
really?
Motown was like predominantly what he was playing in the car or like at his, you know, at his house.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Oh, yeah. Danny Brown, of course. So I guess not a lot of musicians have come on. But yeah, Motown was like huge for us. You know, everything from Jackson 5, Temptations, Diana Ross, like all that was like
all the best.
Yeah, that's, you know, older stuff for sure. My dad hated hip hop.
Oh yeah, so did my stepdad.
He was like, that's one thing we're definitely different in. And I was like, okay. He was like, God, you like this shit? I was like, yeah.
At what point has it even kicked in yet? Like, do you like current hip hop, like new shit?
Here's the thing. Bert and I were just talking about this, how you're too young for this now, but you like in 10 years, you'll be like, oh, like you don't want to be the guy who's like, fuck all this new shit.
Oh, I'm already there.
So what happens is you do start to lean into that. It's also comfortable about the stuff that you like and came up with. You're like, it's comfort, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's why people watch sitcoms for like the same sitcom. They're like, I know it. It doesn't challenge me in any, like it feels nice. It's like a warm blanket. So music's like that too. Apparently this is something that happens in the brain to most people, which is like after 35, you just are reluctant to keep taking in new stuff. So I try to make an effort to go like, okay, what's new? And a lot of times, you know, sometimes my effort is 5 seconds. I'm like, fuck this. And sometimes I'll even like make myself listen to like a couple songs and like I'll find things that I like. The truth is what ends up usually grabbing me now is just something that's catchy as shit. You know what I mean? Like if a beat is like super, has a thing to it, you're like, oh yeah, I'll download that shit right away.
Yeah.
As far as like, I mean, I don't want to get into bad, like there's new artists who are so celebrated. I'm like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know why anyone is talking about this.
Oh, dude, it's my generation. Even I don't fucking get it at
really?
All. Dude, that's the weirdest thing about me is the fact that I'm 27 and I live in this new world of all the new age hip hop and social media and all that. I fucking hate it so much,
really?
Tom. Oh my God. The fact that I'm successful via TikTok blows my mind. For years, like Lauren Compton, whose podcast I'm going to do.
Yeah.
For probably 2 years before I did TikTok was like, you got to get on there. You got to do it. And I was like, never in a million fucking years.
She was telling you?
Oh yeah. So everybody was like, you got
to
get
on.
I was like,
Lauren
I'd rather
Compton.
Not.
Yeah.
And they were all
well,
right.
I was like you. I mean, yeah, I was like you. I was like, I have enough social media. Like when it was like, you know, I remember Twitter and you're like, all right, Instagram. I like Instagram. I was like, yeah, I like photos and like, I like that medium, right?
Yeah.
Videos, photos. Great. Then I was like, you got to be kidding me. Another one?
Mm-hmm.
Another
you want threads?
One? I fucking hit yes. And it just like automated it.
I didn't even say
I know,
it
but it's like you go, but then part of you, what happens is you go, well, it's like with TikTok became the place that like the young consumer is there, right?
Yeah.
So when something like Threads comes on, you just go like, what if that just explode? Like, why be late to the party? I just was like, okay.
Yeah.
But I don't really engage much there. I don't, you know, I just kind of go, fuck, man. And then somebody manages like Facebook, I abandoned.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I haven't been on Facebook in
years.
But
then a guy manages it for me, puts stuff up. I'm like, fine.
Exact same thing.
Fine. Just put it up.
Y'all go on there like to check when a birthday is. And that's literally it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Dude. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, but obviously, like, TikTok really was critical.
Oh, because it's exposure.
So wait, when you said, like, last July, you make $100 or whatever to, so it starts to, you see the thing explode, like the videos start to go crazy. Do you show up at a gig and you're like, oh, this is sold out? Like, you didn't know?
The first place was, I'm sure you know, Off the Hook in Naples.
Yes.
That was the first club that, like, did numbers that nearly sold out each night.
And you'll never forget that, by the way.
Oh, no, because he handed me a check and it was for like $12,000.
Yeah.
Which I was only contracted for like a $1,500 guarantee. I mean, you know how those deals go.
Sure.
So I was expecting that check and he handed me $12,000. I remember I looked up at him and I said, are you sure?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, man, we did really, really well. Yeah. I was like, get the fuck out of here.
It's
Are
a
they
crazy
all supposed
feeling.
To be like this now? That was the first club that actually took off. But before that, it was just...
And then was it just on after that? Like, it was just on?
Yeah, pretty much, which is crazy because the 2 months leading up to that were exactly what you were talking about. I was routing one-nighters from like St. Louis to Philly to Raleigh, and each one of them I'd make $500 or something like that.
Sure.
But you'd have to do all three to make the whole trip worth it.
Worth it, yeah.
Yeah, it was exhausting.
I remember my first one very clearly. I was, my special came out in March of 2014.
Mm.
And honestly, you know, Netflix is much bigger now than it was then. It was still like a thing, but I was like, all right, you know, it was a consolation prize to be on Netflix. They were like, oh, it's on Netflix. And you're
fuck.
Yeah, you're like, all right. So it came out, you know, saw some tweets, did a couple press, I did like phoners, you know, a newspaper put me in there. Like, it was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out, and I saw people were like, oh, this is really fun. Like the same kind of thing. Like when I did Comedy Central Presents, you know, you see like tweets about it and you're like, all right. And nothing changes. So I was like, nothing changed.
Now, do you feel like it's the epitome? Netflix, do you think it's the best place for a special to land?
Yes.
Viewership-wise?
Oh, it is.
Fuck.
The only other place that, like, oddly enough, it's the polar opposite business model in many ways, but they both have the same objective, is YouTube. Meaning that, like, Netflix is subscription-based. You pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got 140 million people to do it. And they also have like some very high level production things. They're obviously like massive shows, movies, like it is like a content haven, right?
Yeah.
And they also became the place, like they went after stand up.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, HBO was the place for stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix was like, fuck that, we are, and came to people with checks and like took stand up away from Comedy Central and HBO.
Yeah.
It's the place. What's fascinating about YouTube. YouTube is free. Everybody has YouTube. YouTube, you can share very easily.
Mm-hmm.
The objective, just like Netflix, is like Netflix wants you to stay on the platform.
Yeah.
They're giving you stuff to go, just stay here.
Yeah.
YouTube has the same objective. Stay here. Stay on YouTube. You can put out a special, as you have and other comedians have, and look, if that finds an audience, the same goal is met.
Yeah.
Millions of people seeing it, and that, without question, translates to ticket sales. That's part of like... Part of the people who are buying tickets for you right now, of course, TikTok, but like some of them are YouTube people. Hey, I saw your special on YouTube. But do I think that Netflix right now is still the place to be? Yes, it is.
Man, when did Comedy Central fall out of that race, you think?
Probably right around like 2014, 15, 16, like in that middle thing. That's as like Netflix... put it into like fifth gear. But the whole Comedy Central model was like, remember it was like, all it was stand up.
That's literally what made me do stand up. Is I used to Comedy stay Central. Up late at night and just watch Comedy Central Presents
time. Like none of us wanted to be anywhere but Comedy Central.
Oh, of course.
Like, and I'm talking about from the early 2000s, like even when I did Presents, I shot it in 2010. It came out in 2011. And I was just like, that was a half hour special.
Yeah.
And all I was gearing for was like, let me do that hour next. Like that was the goal because you've seen all your people you admire do it.
Yeah. So there was a structure to how your career is supposed to go.
Just do that. But they also, like, I don't know. I mean, you know, leadership changes in companies like that.
Oh, especially with Viacom.
And they just, change their whole model. And, like, they, you know, they've been very fortunate to have South Park and The Daily Show be, like, the continued staples of the network.
Yeah.
But all these other things they do, I'm like, they kind of, like, come and go. Like, everything else just kind of, like, falls away.
I've always wanted to change that. Like, I've always wanted to have that conversation with Comedy Central to be like, give somebody with a young, fresh fan base a project to run with that can bring your network back to what it used to be, a comedy network.
I got to tell you something. You could probably fucking get that meeting.
I've had that meeting. I've had that meeting, and they don't bat an eye. Oh, Comedy Central's never given me the time of day. Dude.
Even now?
Never. That's still hilarious. No, dude. I know.
Well, that's very informative in and of itself. You should be able to go in there, and I don't mean that like anybody could just sort of be like, give me this, but the fact that they don't want to entertain the idea is fucking bonkers. Course.
And I'm big on creativity.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Take a fucking chance, dude. I get that you're a business. I get that you have to go by the numbers. You and risks can cost a lot of money, but it's like your channel's never gonna grow. Your network is never gonna go back up.
And you're having those conversations with people right now, and they're like, we're not interested.
Really, I think Comedy Central is probably the only one who never, like, just never even looked
take
at me
the
as serious. Nah, not really. I had a meeting with them probably beginning of this year, maybe end of last year when things started to pop off a little bit.
There's
and it was positive,
funny,
but it was
like,
not like, we
really?
Want to work with you. Nah.
That's so interesting. Like, it's funny how, like, these networks and platforms have, like, brands now. Like,
yeah.
Like, HBO is like, are you trans and missing a limb? Like, come do a special here, you know?
Well, OnlyFans has given so much opportunity to stand up lately.
Yeah.
They, which is funny. That's actually why I named my first special Matt Rife OnlyFans, because I knew how many people searched to see if I had an OnlyFans.
Okay.
That I knew it was going to drive traffic to it.
Let's park here for
okay,
a second.
Okay.
That's a great thing. So, it's a perfect time to bring this up. So much is made about your looks.
Dude,
so much is made
insane.
About
insane.
One of the things I noticed, I mean, look, you're a very handsome young man.
Thanks, man.
I remember when all this happened, I looked at your Instagram, and dude, the comments under your photos are like, they're like, oh my God, he's doing it to us. Like, I can't take this anymore. I'm like, what the fuck? And it's like girls tagging their friends. Did you see? And then the girl is like, oh my God, I'm dying over here. Like, I'm like, yo.
Dude, it doesn't make sense to me either.
Well, but you're in the very, I mean, very small percentage of not just a good looking guy, but like it traditionally doesn't align with comedy, right? Like comedy, like the more flawed you are, people see it as a bonus, right?
Yeah.
Guy with like a missing tooth, belly hanging out there. People are like, that's hilarious.
It's visually comedic.
It's comedic. And they like to see that guy say things. And like, if he complains, it's like, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They don't want to see somebody really well put together.
Yeah.
They're like, what's up with your life is great.
Oh, of course. Yes, they assume you have no problems whatsoever.
You can't have problems. Traditionally, what you see in comedy, I think, is like, you're always kind of telling, because there's a lot of women who are attractive women.
Mm-hmm.
Who sometimes lean into that.
Yeah.
And you find that like there's huge resistance to it.
Oh,
like,
of course.
People go like, stop dressing like that. And it's not that like I feel like you should tell somebody what to say, but I almost say that like I understand what they're saying. It's like you're wearing this form-fitting outfit, you're accentuating. It's like the guys are only thinking about what they're seeing.
Yeah.
The women are like jealous or hating on you. It's like you kind of have to like play against those genetic gifts.
Yeah.
So like what's your position on like, you know that people are saying like, oh, we find you so attractive.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on how to deal with that and do comedy?
Well, I think when I was younger, I had to embrace it because it was the only thing I had that kind of made me stand apart, I suppose.
Uh-huh.
That gave me some kind of leverage, I guess, or at least made people notice me.
So like what, you're young and they're like, you're cute.
So you go, oh, well, I'll play into the I'm young, dumb, and cute card,
okay,
right?
I got
but
you.
Then once you become 25, 26, 27, you're an adult, people stop caring about what you look like, at least in comedy clubs, stop caring about what you look like and how old you are and more focused on what you have to say. Like, are you going to actually be funny?
Yeah.
So now I'm at this point where I kind of hate that I did that to myself because I'm put in a weird position of like, yes, I have this massive fan base that is predominantly women who are such a powerful fan base. Like they're so supportive. And I mean, look at the ticket sales we did in 48 hours is insane. But then I have to sort through all of those fans to find, okay, who are the real comedy fans? Who's right. actually here because they believe I'm a funny comedian?
The big plus to it, though, is that you're bringing in people who maybe never wanted to see a stand-up show.
Oh, yeah.
Never seen one. That is the big plus, though, is that like somebody who goes like, oh, these chicks just think you're a good-looking guy or whatever. It's like, yeah, but you got somebody to go, oh, I want to see this. This is stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are going to be like, I want to see more stand-up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
And that's a huge benefit to comedy.
But it's a responsibility as well.
Yeah.
Because so many of my online clips are just crowd work, people who don't know how comedy works think that's how the show is.
How are you managing that?
Because
I wondered that too. It's like, I see that it's like a natural thing to watch. You go like, oh, these are great crowd work clips.
Yeah.
They're going, I'm going to go talk to me. Right.
It's, you have to be patient, and I am patient to an extent. My biggest problem is people can come to the show expecting crowd work and still be respectful. They can sit back, wait and go, I bet it's going to come at some point.
Mm-hmm.
That's the audience member that I love, because the thing is, they're probably going to get it because I enjoy doing crowd work for me.
Sure.
I mean, as a comic, like you get tired of telling your own jokes.
Sure.
When you do 8 shows in a row, you go, oh, okay, this hour
here
is again.
Yeah.
Let's break it up a little bit with something that's even going to catch me off guard.
And do you
right?
do that like at a special moment, or is just like,
yeah,
whenever?
I'm so happy to talk to you about this.
Yeah.
Somebody who gets it. Yeah. I've got like 3 placeholders in my set that I go, I can transition from this bit easily into some crowd work.
Of course.
And if it does or doesn't work out, I have an easy out to
easy
go back
out.
Into the
yep.
set. But here is an opening for it.
Sure.
But people don't know that. So you get people who are egotistical or just want the attention,
yeah.
or like they want to be that next clip.
People, yeah.
Yeah. They come and they yell out.
Hey.
And yeah. that's what I'll shut down immediately. If I can tell somebody wants the attention, like they
yeah.
want to be the clip, I go, nah, get them the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
You're
I hate that
for
shit
the show.
So much.
It's the worst.
The worst part about it is that there's this thing when you're performing. Any type of performance, but stand up, where you naturally, to be the best performer, have to be willing to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And when somebody like hijacks moments like that, the natural instinct is go, I don't want to be vulnerable anymore.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
I don't want to open. So I'm going to
put a wall up. Now.
Yeah. And then you're like, now you're fucking up the show for everybody. You know? Yeah.
No, that's been a tricky thing to navigate. It's, going back to what you were saying about my looks earlier.
Yeah.
It's created this very hungry, supportive fan base that I'm so grateful for and has gotten me this far.
Yeah.
But now I am having to weed through those and find the real comedy fans, because that's what I've been working so hard for the past 12 years. You know?
Right. How do you do that? Like, you just...
You have to stay true to the craft, I suppose, as cheesy as that sounds. But it's like I was talking to my best friend and tour manager the other day about how easy it would be for me to just go on stage and play into the whole I'm a young fuck boy.
Yeah.
We lift my shirt up or whatever and like play to the female audience. And like I could have uproarious standing ovation.
Sure, sure.
And it would be a great show for exactly what they probably want. But I'd be fucking miserable with myself.
You'd be miserable.
That's not what I want to do.
And the time limit on that would be quicker.
Oh, of course.
You know, that
oh,
would
yeah,
expire.
That would be such a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
But what's funny is, as much as I sit here and go, oh, my looks don't allow me to be perceived as a real comedian,
yeah.
guess how much sympathy I'm allowed to get?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Zero.
Of course.
People go,
but do you feel, is there a pressure on you to, I mean, your looks are your looks, right? Like, your face is your face.
Yeah, it didn't choose it.
Right? It's just how it is.
Yeah.
But is there then an added pressure to go, like, I need to look good all the time? I mean, you know, like, you're not aging out, but like, there's this thing, right? Does it stay in your head? Like, I better like stay in really good shape. I better make sure my hair looks like, do you feel a pressure to deliver the package that some of these people want to see?
No, not for them. For me. I want to look the best I can possibly.
Sure.
Who the fuck doesn't want to look the best version of themselves, right?
Yeah.
And as somebody who grew up as an ugly kid, as a skinny kid, I didn't lose my virginity until I had 2 months left of high school.
Uh-huh.
So like I was such a late bloomer that I'm like, can I just enjoy this portion of my life?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to look like when I'm fucking older. I might look like Dom Irera in 5 years.
Yeah,
dude.
You,
who
it
knows?
Really could change.
Yeah,
it?
I don't know.
Well,
as rapidly as this happened, it could go away.
Let me ask you this. Are you just drowning in pussy right now? Like, is it the
and
best?
And if I was, nobody throw me a fucking life vest. Not a
no,
single person,
wouldn't.
Dude.
No, they wouldn't.
No, I'm not. I have a girlfriend.
You do?
Yeah.
Does
yeah.
your audience know that? Well, they do now.
A good part of them do.
Are you guys together a while?
No, it's a early relationship, about 4 or 5 months, but we've known each other for about a year and a half.
You have?
Yeah. She's
a comedian?
Wonderful.
No,
she's an actress.
Okay. Now this is the next question for that. That takes she must feel how much people are commenting on you and like all the attention you get.
Yeah.
That takes a very secure person to.
And
right?
She is. She's very smart. Mm-hmm. And I love that she's never been insecure about the amount of attention that I get and is more. She sees it the way I see it. Like some. A girl will yell out in the middle of a show like "fuck me" or something wild that people yell out at these shows, right?
Crazy.
And a lot of girls will be like, "You have girls yelling out to fuck you in the middle of a show." Yeah. I get off stage. She goes, "What the fuck's that girl's problem?"
Yeah.
That's so annoying. You're in the middle of trying out this new bit that I know you've been working so hard for, and now she ruined the entire fucking thing.
Yeah, that's a good girl.
I love that she understands that. I mean, does she love it? I'm sure she doesn't.
I'm
Who
sure.
the fuck would?
Yeah.
But she's very calming and understanding, which is what I love so much about our relationship. And that's why
take you a long way.
I didn't want to get into a relationship at all. With this tour beginning, I was like, there's no way I'm gonna be able to manage a relationship.
Yeah.
And all it's done so far is just like keep me grounded. I have one person to respond to and think about and focus on rather than being that touring comic that's like, well, girl, can I fuck in this city?
It's another thing where I remember like when I was like, don't lose your mind. I meant things like this, you know. It's like,
You texted me and I was like, are you sure this is Tom Segura? I was so happy that you reached out, man. That meant a lot. Seriously.
Well, I was happy for you. You know, it's fun to like these things when they happen, they don't happen all the time. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's exciting. Like just like for comedy.
Yeah.
And I know you're a good guy. And I was like, you know, I just wanted to reach out and be like, hey man, I hope, you know, you're managing all this well and that's not overwhelming, but like
that meant a lot because I get as much positive attention as you see on the internet. Yeah. There's three times as much hate. Dude.
Yeah,
it's
do you?
Wild.
Oh man, it's wild, right? Yeah.
It's insane, man.
Do you know? Have you like figured out how to like not digest all of it?
No. I'm so confrontational as a person. Like it drives me insane. I can't beat the fuck out of these people.
Yeah.
But then you have to sit back and go, well, I'm really allowing these people to determine how I feel throughout my day.
You gotta like,
and it's fucking pathetic.
Exactly. You don't want to let them.
I mean, nobody wants, regardless of the situation and no matter how secure you are with yourself, doesn't feel good to know that many people don't fucking like you.
Of course. But it's also like, you know, like you're literally living your dream.
Yeah, of course.
And it's like you can't let someone's bitterness or negativity suck that joy out of you.
And
you
it's almost always dudes.
Of course.
Which just tells me like it's like, okay, what are you actually mad about?
Well, you
are
know.
Are you mad that I'm having success or are you mad that I look the way I do?
It's everything.
Like how much pussy do you not get?
A lot.
For me, just trying to make you laugh upsets you.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
It's really just, you know, it's like it's mistargeted emotion from somebody. You know, like they're just mad about something else and they found somebody they can go, I can put it over here, right? But like the funny thing is, it takes a while, and I remember this because like I remember like when you have no exposure, nobody's like you're the worst and you suck because nobody knows you.
Yeah,
all your you know feedback is like people who know you.
Yeah,
you know, and then
that's
like
how people get canceled 20 years later.
Yeah, it's like this gradual thing though, right? Uh-huh. Where it's like that was great. That was everyone's just like you're great, and then like you get your first pop of some exposure and you get someone being like you fucking suck and you're like the first time you're like wait what like it's so like startling at first. You're like what are you talking like you've never had someone do that. And I remember being like I remember engaging people like, the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah all the time, which is crazy because you would never do that in real life.
No, of course
you
not.
If you see somebody performing on like the subway playing violin or whatever, even if you think it's garbage, you don't walk by and go fucking kill yourself.
No, I know,
that's an insane thing to do.
It's what
just
the
keep it
anonymity of the internet provides you to do, you know. It's like, but it's the same thing. It's like, you know, people talk about the way that we talk about someone in the car in front of you.
Mm, damn, that's a really good
you
point.
Know? It's like the car in front of you, and you're like, what if we were walking and the person's walking? Like, you would never, You would never.
That is a really good way to look at it. You want to instinctually blame the internet for that false sense of security.
Yeah.
But no, you're right. You do it in your fucking car.
Oh, and you say the most heinous things.
Oh yeah.
You fucking piece of shit.
Like, oh, you'll call a white person the N-word like eight times?
Most of the time. Yeah. Every morning.
Every morning.
When I get here. Yeah.
But my favorite thing is, as much as it's usually dudes who give me shit, they have the most fun at my shows.
Of course, dude.
My favorite thing is to watch the audience throughout my show, because it's all the same. It's predominantly women, mm-hmm. and then boyfriends who weren't going to let their girls come alone, right?
Yeah.
So every guy's like this at the beginning of every show. Mm-hmm. Every girlfriend's like this. And then about 20 minutes in, every girlfriend is like,
yeah.
And every boyfriend is like, yeah. All right, I actually fuck with what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, just give it a chance.
I think we have very different fan bases.
I'll trade you.
I have this thing, like, I meet sometimes people after shows, and they'll be like, the guy will be like, yo, can I get a picture? And I'm like, yeah, sure, man. And then he's like, babe. And she's like, I'm good.
Dude, I get the complete opposite. I get the husband being like, I don't want. They'll pay for the meet and greet and then be like, I don't want a picture with him. She wanted the photo.
By the way, just so it's clear, chicks yell out fuck me Tom too at my shows. But when we turn the lights on, they look like a fucking basset hound. And we cut the lights.
It always has happened.
Dude,
I've had like brawls thrown at me on stage. Like people bring signs and shit to shows now. They yell out the craziest things. And I'm just like, you wouldn't do this at Hamilton.
No.
You wouldn't yell out in the middle of a musical number and be like, eat my pussy. Somebody would stand up and be like, hey man, shut up. Thomas Jefferson's black right now.
Hamilton,
I'm getting a history
lesson. Eat my pussy. That would be amazing to be at that Hamilton show. I'd be like, oh my God. It's crazy though that, you know, because you don't really think about this, that like we usually see, and we've learned, especially in this era, do not objectify a beautiful woman, right?
Yeah.
Like people go like, do not, your thought might be this, but you do not say that to that woman. But it's so interesting that like, you're in this very unique position where you get objectified.
Oh, yeah.
And people say wild shit. Like, no one feels bad for you. I'm not saying
not a single person.
But it is a crazy thing to experience
yeah.
that people are saying that to
oh,
you.
Oh, dude, I've had my nipple bitten. I've meet and greets, my ass grabbed all the time. Women will ask in front of my PR people or the meet and greet people who run all of it. They'll ask, like, can I grab your dick in the photo and stuff? And I'm like, or I'll be on stage and somebody will be like, take your pants off. I'm like, imagine if Amy Schumer was up here and somebody was like, let's see that clit. Like, you
clit.
Just couldn't do it. Yeah.
Show me your clit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just challenge her to a thumb wrestling competition in the middle of the fucking show.
That is crazy, dude. That is crazy.
It sucks. Yeah. It's so annoying. But it's like,
My God.
That is my price to pay for having an overwhelming fan base.
Yeah.
But again, that
came to you in a year.
Yeah.
That's the part that I'm like, that's why I'm impressed, honestly, Matt, with like how you've managed things, because, you know, 27 is, you're a young guy and, you know, this came to you in such a short time and you're managing. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I were you, I'm 27, I'd be like, I'm going to get AIDS on this tour and I want it. I want AIDS. I would make it my mission. I'm like, if you don't have AIDS, don't even try to fuck me.
I'm weak by the third show.
Oh my God.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's wild, dude.
It's a lot, but it's what you ask for.
It is what you ask
and
for.
Look, my I'm just telling myself, like, if I can just get through June of next year,
yeah.
Be as tired as you want for the next 9 months. And after that, you can just do things the way
you
want
to do them.
By
the way, I was looking at my tour, the tour that I wrapped up, and it was daunting. You know, it was overwhelming. And I ended up just going like, I think the way to approach it to get through it is just week to week.
Yeah. You can't look at it broad.
You can't look at like what's in 4 or 5 months. You got to go, like, what are we doing this week?
Yeah. I wish I was taking more time to enjoy some of the stuff I'm doing. We're doing 6 shows at Radio City Music Hall. Three nights. So 2, 2, and 2.
Wow.
And I know each of those nights, all I'm going to want to do is get off stage for the first show and go, oh, let me just breathe it all in,
of course.
You know? And now I'm going to go, nope, I got to go do another one right
yeah.
after this.
Yeah,
and
that's
then be
what,
so tired by the time it's all done. You don't want to do anything else.
One of the things you have the ability to do, because like we didn't have it much. Man, sometimes on the road, when there's like a scheduled night off on the road, it's the greatest thing. Meaning like we're doing shows Tuesday, Wednesday, and all of a sudden you go schedule Thursday, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But then shows Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
It became like, I think we had like 3 like that, you know, just like randomly. But it was such a relief to be out there, but have nothing to do.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing for all of September, because I'm doing like three back-to-back full weeks, basically, leading up to my special I'm shooting in September. And we have like one day off in between each city, and I can't wait to just be in a different town with no response.
With no response. It's a great thing.
And did you
do
a bus?
Yes.
We're doing a bus in October. I'm so fucking excited about it.
You pick your bus out already?
Yeah. They built it new.
Nice.
Not as expensive as you might think. We're getting it wrapped. I think OnlyFans is
buying
the sponsor
it or
for
chartering?
No, just charting it.
Yeah, yeah.
OnlyFans is going to wrap it.
They are?
Oh, yeah, dude. This bus is going to look like Bang Bus for sure. Pretty excited about it.
Dude. Yeah. You're freaking.
I've only been on the bus. How long were you on the bus for?
What do you mean, how long?
For the whole tour, were you on it for like 6 nights? I mean, obviously you come back in between some shows. But.
Yeah, I mean, I had the bus for from August of 21
mm-hmm.
until through December of 20. So like the only time I didn't have the bus was I did my international leg at the very end.
That's what we're
so
doing.
That's why I stopped it, you mm-hmm. know, when that, and then I had, so this year I did Australia, New Zealand, South America, and Europe,
oh,
and no
man.
Bus. You know.
How was New Zealand?
Unbelievable.
Did you get to do anything fun while you were over there?
Yeah. That's the cool thing about the international stuff is you actually enjoy things more than you do domestically.
Yeah.
Because like there are like, all right, you flew fucking 16 hours. So there's 2 days of like uh-huh. nothing. Then it's like, you know, you're doing Perth and Sydney, and then there's 2 days off. So you like,
yeah.
you actually, like, I mean, we rented bikes and went on bike rides.
Bikes. Dude, that's, and do you know how infamous that fucking line is now?
It's
I'll hear crazy. It walking down regular streets, dude.
It's pretty crazy that I still get every week memes and like photos people send me. They're like, look at all these bikes. And I go, yeah, I know.
You genius.
Know, it's I can't believe that something has legs like that for like saying a word.
What was the most fun thing you did while you were in New Zealand? Like touristy wise,
let's see. Because what did we do? We did Christchurch, Wellington.
You went to church?
We went to church.
Are you religious?
No.
Why'd you go to Christchurch?
That's the name of the city.
Oh. maybe don't skip out on college and start a career in comedy. Fuck.
Yeah, I know.
Who the fuck names it that?
It's a very strange name. Yeah.
If somebody named the town fucking Papa John's, you'd also be confused.
You would. That's a very valid point.
You can say whatever you want in that city,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah. Christchurch is it's beautiful. I think they had a mass, they're famous for like the massive earthquake. Oh, they also had a massive shooting, but we don't have to talk about that.
Like massive or like America size?
The shooting?
Yeah.
It was pretty terrible. Yeah. It was like a mosque shooting the Christ. But pull it up.
Yeah, pull it up real quick.
Yeah. It was horrible. Yeah, the mosque shootings, yeah.
Jeez. Oh, in 2019. I remember this. Yeah.
It was terrible. Yeah.
Hold on. There's a mosque in a town called Christchurch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can see how that could be confrontational.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible, man.
Was it also a white kid that did the New Zealand one?
I'd be surprised.
If it was or wasn't.
Yeah, it was a massive. I'd be surprised if it. I was joking. It was definitely a white guy. Major earthquake. Yeah, yeah. That was a.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was huge. That was in 2011.
That's insane.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think.
185 people.
It was really just like seeing the beauty, like the nature of New Zealand.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like it's famous for that's where they shot all the Lord of the Rings stuff.
Have you been skydiving before?
No.
And
by the way, just so you know, you can go when you're in, I think when you're in Auckland, there's mm-hmm. like a day trip you can take to see like where
the
they
Lord
shot.
Of the Rings. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We almost did it. I went there this January.
Oh, you
for,
did?
For a friend's YouTube trip, right?
Oh,
and we were out there for 2 weeks.
YouTube trip.
He runs this YouTube channel that I met. This is, I'm going to try to summarize this. we met because he runs a gigantic successful YouTube channel called TFIL. He has a sub channel called the Overnight Channel that's like ghost hunting. And I joined him for that. We've been all over the world ghost hunting.
Seriously? Really? Are you weird. A big ghost guy?
You love it, dude.
Really?
But also, biggest pussy you'll ever meet. I'm so afraid of ghosts, but like I want to meet one.
You really are?
Yeah, dude.
So you're hunting them, but you're terrified.
Yeah.
This is like a scuba diver who's like, I hope I don't fucking see a shark.
Exactly.
I love it.
Okay. Yeah. Or you know, like any cop.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, so you go there.
So we go to New Zealand for his other YouTube channel. It's like basically an adventure channel. Mm-hmm. So he paid for all of us to go. We just had to go and film everything we were doing for fun. And wow. We jumped off this giant building in the North Island when we were up there.
Did you skydive?
We went skydiving over the Remarkables, those mountains?
I don't even know.
I believe it's what they're called. Those are the mountains they filmed all like the exterior shots for Lord of the Rings. And you see them hiking up the hills and shit.
Wow.
And when we went skydiving, they drop you over the mountains. So you fall from 15,000 feet. Yeah, the Remarkables. From 15,000 feet, you fall right next to the mountain. You're falling like the entire length of the mountain. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever
before?
Seen. Once before in Vegas with a Groupon.
With a Groupon?
Yeah. Yeah. If you think that's sad, a dude showed up by himself.
Really?
Yeah. I've never seen a more suicidal person in my entire life. He showed up by himself we went at 6 a.m. because we wanted to go like with the sunrise.
Sure.
Which was beautiful.
Yeah.
The guy showed up by himself and they're like, are you waiting on anybody? He was like, no.
You ever seen those people having sex while they skydive?
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
How?
So it's so crazy. Like, so they started like they get in, the guy was a porn guy who also became a skydiving instructor, of course.
Yeah, extremes.
And then the girl was like, I want to do this, you know. So they start banging in the plane to like get ready, you know, for it.
Of course.
And then jump out and like they are banging in the air. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is the aim to bust before you land?
I think so. According to the guy, I mean, the guy, he's like, she came like five times. You know, like,
I think it's called a heart attack.
Yeah. I think she thinks it's an aneurysm. But yeah, I think it was finished before you get that.
Do you think you could do it?
Well, no.
Really?
Well, I think.
I'll tell you why I don't think you can, actually, because when you go skydiving, the harness cuts off all the circulation to your dick.
Yeah, I mean,
it hurts so bad.
So he was on the back, obviously. Uh-huh. And, yeah, I don't know, dude. It seems preposterous.
There's videos of this?
Yeah, yeah.
My Google history is gonna look disgusting after this because I have to see because you're basically you're baby.
This
what?
Is it. Yeah, this is it. Yeah.
So you're just baby Bjorned onto the front of somebody, and there's not a lot of like hip action you could really throw into that. But also, I don't know if I want to go tandem ever again now.
Yeah, I know.
Or this is the only way I want to go from here on out.
Pretty crazy.
Jesus Christ.
Skydiving. I don't know why it's a scandal. I guess it probably upset.
Scandal?
It probably upset a lot of the skydiving community, maybe.
Well, I think it would upset whoever you're skydiving above, because imagine she squirts and then she lands on some fucking family. Yeah.
It's true.
How do you explain that to somebody?
This is true. So you didn't have sex when you skydived, but...
No, this isn't the most absurd thing I've seen porn-wise, though. I hosted the AVNs.
You hosted it?
Yeah.
When?
This we filmed it this past December, and it aired like a month and a half ago or whatever.
Wait a minute. You shot it a few months ago.
We filmed it last December.
Okay.
Like meaning, right before Christmas and New Year's, I believe.
Oh, I got you. Okay, okay.
Yeah, I think that's when it was. Or very beginning of January.
How did that come about? Like the...
Somebody over at Showtime was a fan, and they usually have a comedian host it.
Yeah, I've known that for years. I've seen so many comics do that.
You're gonna see. I've seen so many award shows.
I've gone every year. I've never missed it.
Avid audience member.
Yeah.
Somebody just hit me up. They're like, "Hey, we want like a new hot young host to bring some young energy to it."
Yeah.
And I was so excited.
Yeah.
And it was just terrifying.
I'm sure it was.
It was so much to absorb. Because I also had to present at the gay VNs night before.
Oh, they must have eaten your ass up, literally.
Dude, oh, yeah. Yeah, it was life-changing. Because I'm sitting front row watching most of the show, and it was... I couldn't help but laugh because I've never seen so much dick.
Because it's like, it's playing on the screens.
Oh, yeah, because it's just like the Oscars, where you know how like every time somebody's nominated for something, they'll show a scene of the movie. So they'll be like, I don't know, Johnny Mash nominated for, you know, Cock of the Year or whatever. And then they'll just show him going to town for like 7 seconds.
And, like,
and you'll see eight more people and you'll be like, oh, I get it. Yeah, talk of the town.
Yeah.
It's alarming.
And then at the AVNs, they're showing the porn clips too, the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's aggressive. I don't think I watched porn for like 4 months after that.
Pat, dude, did you come out and just do a monologue? Like, is that how it starts?
Yeah, I had to go out there, do a little, I think I did like 15 minutes up front.
Did you do like your act?
Or? No, that was the scariest thing about it is because that it's an all porn audience. Yeah. And they're there for that. Like they want to hear jokes about their own industry.
Yeah.
Which is hard for a couple of reasons. Because one, every porn joke in the world has been told already.
For sure.
This is like the 20th version anniversary of this show.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, as much as it could be easy to make fun of that industry,
yeah,
you have to be respectful. Because like this is their night. Like to them, this is the Oscars for them.
Oh,
so like as much as you want to poke fun, you have to be a little respectful. So I mean, finding that line to walk was really fun, but scary because there was no place to test the material.
What'd you
so
do?
15 minutes of untested material.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow. So you just like came up with it and then go, I'll just do it here for the first time.
Yeah. I was like, we'll just hope this works. And I'd say 90% of it did. I was so lucky, so nervous, but so lucky. Didn't sleep with a single porn star. Everybody
really?
Was like, oh, you had to fuck just everybody. Yeah. I was single at the time.
Offers?
Dude, I was so offended. When the show was over, I went to the after party and everything. When I tell you nobody really talked to me at all, I go, oh, it's fine. I was single. I was open to whatever might have happened.
Sure, sure.
Maybe 2-3 weeks go by. I just start getting hit up by so many porn stars being like, where were you that night? We all wanted to fuck you. And I was like, I couldn't have been more available.
I was there.
I was looking for y'all.
Yeah.
Never found me. Didn't have any fun whatsoever.
Good to note.
Yeah. It's not what you think it is at all.
Yeah. That's surprising. That is surprising.
It was fun though.
I remember I did at the Improv in Melrose. They're like, do you want to host this porn like the Vivid.
Oh, yeah. The Vivid Awards?
The Vivid Improv. It was just like Vivid Night at in Melrose.
Okay.
I mean, this is like 2000.
They would do a night?
Yeah. It was like their show. So I'm like, what do I do? And they're like, well, you show up and then like these two girls are going to go on stage with you. I was like, all right. I mean, look, it was like they were nice. You know, they're porn stars.
Uh-huh.
And so like they did like essentially like presentation kind of stuff, but
okay.
It was, you know, it wasn't like worked out. It was kind of sloppy, you know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah, I mean, you ever watch porn? It's like it's never rehearsed.
No.
It's everyone's first take.
And I was like, all right. But I fucked up in that I was like, first of all, I was pretty inexperienced. I mean, I'm like 4-5. I don't really know, but I was doing like disrespectful shit because I thought that's, you know.
Yeah, you thought they'd be in on it.
I was like, here's, you know, fucking Janice who has traded her stardom for her dignity. Give it up for, and then she was like,
oh my
like, you know. I was like, that's a funny transition, right? I was like, you know, this chick from the hit series, If the Balls Fit, Suck 'Em, you know, which was a real name, the title of this. I looked at her. I was like, real class act, you know, I'm sure the whole fam's proud. Go give it, you know, let her take them. And she was like,
oh, no, dude, they take it so seriously.
Yeah,
they
I was also, I mean, to be fair, I wasn't like trying to be a dick.
Yeah.
I was trying to be funny.
Of course.
And I'm like a few years into stand up and
I
go like, I think this is the way to do this. Like kind of punch.
But it's,
you know,
such a specific demographic that you're going to. You don't know how to navigate that. You don't know if they're in on the jokes or if they take it too seriously.
The funny thing is that after all these years, we've had like porn people do bits for like our live shows.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think there's a more respectful like group of people that like come to, like when they come to, like they'll hit me up. Hey, we all want to come to the show. And I'm like, oh, like you want tickets? They're like, oh no, we bought tickets.
Oh.
You know? And if they meet you after shows, it's always like the most polite, thank you so much. Do you mind if we take a photo?
Uh-huh.
We had the best time. And because it's usually like Vegas or something.
Yeah.
They've done bits for us that like it's not what you expect for that industry, but they are amongst the nicest people that I've met are people from that industry.
Oh, I love that.
It's true. They really are.
Do you have a worse group that they come to shows?
Family?
Oh, man. God, is there anything
worse?
I wish
I could trade my family for a bunch of porn stars.
I mean, you can.
I mean, yeah. I mean, no, it's the worst.
Can.
They really fucking, family just, you know, they just like, they don't understand that you're working. That's, yeah. I think that's the thing, is that those adult industry people are like, this is this person's work.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, they, yeah. But I can't stand when my mom comes to a show and I'm doing like 5 minutes on fingering or whatever. And it's, I have to be like, also,
but also like moms and like, and family members are like, you know, where do we park? And you're like, I'm at
oh
this
my
show.
God.
Can I come in? I'm at this door.
They don't know
I
anything.
I want to sit here. Can I come over here? Where do I get a drink? So, when are you, can I, and you're like, dude, like, you know that I'm actually, this is my job, right? Like,
so really, really funny quick story. When I was, I think I might have still been 15, maybe just turned 16. It's like my first year doing stand up.
I cannot believe that you're one of those. There's like five people I know of who were like that.
Insane. And most of them are still alive, so I like my odds. Mm. When I was about 15 or 16, this is before I ever met him, really. I was a huge Ralphie May fan.
Yeah.
And he was coming. I lived in Columbus. He was performing at Hilarities in Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
And this at Twitter, on Twitter, you could, this is at the time when Twitter was so accessible, you could reach anybody.
Yeah.
So I would just tweet to Ralphie May. We would go back and forth sometimes. And I was like, hey, I see you're going to be at Hilarities. Could I do, I've heard of this thing called a guest spot. I'd never done one before, but I was like, could I do that? And he was like, yeah, you know what? You're around the same age as I was when I started out. Like, come on down.
Yep.
And it was in like 3 weeks or something like that. My mom and my aunt were who were going to go with me to drive up. That's about a 3-hour drive. So I get their perspective. But they made me ask so many questions. What time do we need to be there? Where do we go? Do we need to buy tickets? Do we need to say reserve tickets, or reserve seats, and all the kind of stuff? That eventually he said, hey, man, this is just too much. Let's rain check this for later down the road. And he... because canceled my guest spot because my mom made me keep asking. So I kept telling her, like, it's, don't worry about it. Don't, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And she just made me ask so many questions.
And now, but now you get it. You get it.
I fully get it. Yeah. I'm like, just show up. Just show up. Somebody will come to find you if you get lost.
Yeah. Stop
It'll
asking
be fine.
Asking these fucking questions.
Dude, it's so ridiculous. My grandma came to my show in Bend, Oregon. Have you done the amphitheater out there?
In Bend, Oregon. I don't think so.
It is. Have you been to Bend, Oregon?
Fucking
beautiful.
Really?
You will love it. I promise you.
I think I've done, I mean, I've obviously done Portland. I've done Eugene, you know, University of
Oregon.
Oh,
yeah.
But I don't think I've done Bend.
If you get a chance to go out there, it's a beautiful town. In the summer and winter, it's two totally different towns. It's beautiful. They have a gorgeous amphitheater out there with the best sound system I think I've ever witnessed in my entire life.
Yeah.
My grandma came out there and I was drunk on stage, which I never do. I never drink when performing.
You're talking about fingering girls and your grandma's
I talked about how my grandpa said he fucked Rosa Parks in the front of the bus.
Oh my God.
Was like a whole thing. Yeah. It was like, I was doing all this ridiculous, stupid stuff. And she comes afterwards and it was like, I love the fingering joke. And I was like, shut up. Please don't stop listening to my show.
It is crazy.
It's so uncomfortable.
That you think of like whenever you see an old person,
mm-hmm.
you're just like, they're sweet and they're old. And you don't know if that old person was like the blowjob queen just a few years prior.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Like, oh, I've swallowed so much cum. And you're like,
yeah.
Oh my God,
dude,
really?
I hear stories all the time about how my great grandmother was like the biggest whore in the world.
Really? Your great grandmother?
My great grandmother, who only died maybe, I'd say 7 years ago, if that.
From fucking.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
She was, she had dementia really bad to the point where she didn't remember her husband or none of my family members.
Yeah.
And we would go visit her in hospice and she would like flirt with me.
Really?
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, she'd have on this sexy nightgown too. That like even I was like thinking about it. No. She was out of her mind. But every story I had ever been told about her, I was like, oh yeah, for sure.
She's a hoe.
Yeah,
your grandmother.
Oh,
is a fucking.
Oh,
hoe.
My parents would tell me about all these diseases she had.
Oh my God.
But how she like cheated on my great grandpa multiple times, but he loved her so much that he stayed with her and
Jesus.
All that. It was. Insanity, dude.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nasty stuff.
Nasty grandma.
Man.
That is crazy.
Also,
yeah.
Fun fact, every woman in my family has had a kid before 20 for like eight generations back. Yeah. My family be fucking, dude.
So how old was your mom when she had you?
19. No, she had just turned 20 by like 2 months when I was delivered. Yeah.
Wow. So dude, your mom is young.
Yeah, my mom, she just turned 48.
Holy shit, I really could be your dad. That's
How old
so
are you?
Crazy. I'm 44.
Fuck. Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
I know.
But you know what's crazy is like that kind of never registers to me because I've been in stand-up for so long. All of my friends are late 30s, mid 40s.
Yeah.
I have like I guess
How
my
did
core
starting,
friends
starting like did you I mean obviously you were a huge stand-up fan.
Mm-hmm.
And you're, and then when you're like, I'm going to go try this? Like, you're 15?
I was a huge fan of Dane Cook and Dave Chappelle when I was like 12, 13, 14. And my mom won tickets on the radio to see Dane at Nationwide Arena in Columbus. Uh-huh. It was like nosebleed seats, obviously, but I was just like so in all of the show.
Yeah.
We went, it was incredible. And since that moment, I was like obsessed with it. So then a couple weeks go by, there's a talent show at school. I'm like, oh, I want to try it. So I do it there. And of course it was terrible.
Oh, but you got balls, dude.
But, oh, I mean, it was awful, dude. I was doing these raunchy jokes that I had gotten off the internet in front of my classmates.
It's ballsy, though.
I was so naive. It's not, you don't think of it as brave when you don't know that there could be consequences.
True.
And then when I was 15, I found out what an open mic was, and I just emailed the Columbus Funny Bone, Stroop.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, I know you have to be 21 and up, but like, I really want to try what an open mic is. Like, could I come if I had like my parents with me or something? And he happened to say yes. And ever since then, it's just been comedy single week.
You were going back all the time?
Every Wednesday.
And how was your... how were your parents about it? Were they supportive? Like, they were like,
My mom was like very supportive about it, but just in the sense of like extracurricular activity. You know, nobody thought anything was going
to
come of it.
Did she give commentary to your sets?
Like, no, but my grandpa would. It would either be my grandpa or my mom who would take me, and my grandpa would be the one to like, because they were bringer open mics. You had to have five people buy tickets. So my grandpa would buy five tickets.
Yeah.
So the club doesn't know any different. They just think five people are in there for you. But in his eyes, I could do like no wrong. Like every set I have, he'd be like, I really like the thing you said about this or whatever.
Yeah.
It also took me about 5 months to hear what a set was.
Yeah.
So every week I was going up doing new 5 minutes because I had no idea you were supposed to keep material like,
and keep working on it. Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Wow. So you're just like, here's a new five.
Yeah. I don't understand how people do a new hour every single night. I had no idea.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But it's a fun learning experience.
Yeah.
But my mom didn't know fucking... She still really doesn't understand at all.
Really?
No, she understands that she has a house now.
She has a house.
Dude, when I tell you, when I told her, like, hey, things are going really well. I want to make sure you're taken care of. You don't have any bills to pay for the rest of your life. Like, I want to get you a house.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, that's, I'm so lucky. Thank you so much, whatever. 9 days go by, right? I get a call. Did you get the link that I sent you? I go, what'd you send? She's like, oh, I sent a Zillow link. I go, oh, you've been looking for houses. Okay, fantastic. Let me take a look at it. Tom, my mom lives in an apartment that she smokes in the bathroom of.
Uh-huh.
And she sends me a link for a 9-bedroom, $3.5 million house with horse stables.
What?
I go, you don't even know 9 people. Who's gonna live in this fucking house?
Yeah, this is crazy.
She goes, well, in case any of you guys want to like come home for the holidays
come
or something.
Come home for the holidays.
I haven't come home for the holidays in 6 years. You think I'm gonna go when I have to fly into Atlanta Airport? Are you out of your fucking
mind? Mom, you're out of your mind.
And I go, the horse stables? She goes, well, that's why it's so expensive. I go, Whose horses? She goes, well, you know, I've always wanted horses. I go, yeah.
Whoa,
I've always wanted my real dad back. But like, sometimes you have to be logistic about these kind of things.
Holy
my mom
shit.
Is 48 years old. She's always injured. Always. She has what's it called? Vertigo.
Yeah.
To where she can barely stand upright for most of the time. I'm like, you're going to learn to take care of horses at 48 years old.
No.
And you're going to do it after who's going to buy the
So you bought the house and the barn.
Bought a different house.
Okay.
Way less expensive version.
And way less bedrooms?
Yes. 4 bedrooms for her and her boyfriend to live in by themselves. She goes, I gotta have a pool. For who? She goes, well, I've always wanted, I want a pool. I go, I've known you for 27 years. Never seen your hair wet. Never seen you sweat. I've never seen you take a bath.
That's hilarious,
I've
dude.
Never seen my mom anywhere near water. And all of a sudden she's like, I don't want a house unless it has a pool.
That's crazy.
So fucking ridiculous.
Did you get the pool?
No, I didn't get the pool.
Okay.
I got a house with a lake behind it.
That's a big pool.
A big pond behind it.
That's a natural
and she still
pool.
Goes, yeah, and they said the land is totally okay to install a pool if we want. I go,
holy
mom.
Shit.
I love you, but you're white trash. You're going to take this above ground pool like an adult and enjoy it.
Yeah,
okay?
That's amazing, dude. It's amazing that you're like, things are all right. And she's like, here's a $3.5 million
yeah.
house. Crazy.
It's like, are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
I go, you're not getting a better house than what I would get for myself. That's insane.
My mom is like so wired this way too.
The same way?
Totally.
What's crazy, my mom isn't like that. My mom is so simple, and that's what I love about her. And then she hits me with this expensive taste.
I think that that's a kind of an act from moms.
You think so?
Kind of, yeah. You'll see it more now as you'll be working at this level.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, my mom is like, I'm very simple. I like, you know, nothing special. And you're like, all right.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, she wants a car. It's like, what kind of car do you want? Mercedes, Lexus. I'm like, okay.
Mm.
Then she was like, let's swap it out. I want a different, like, this is like a month later. I'm like, swap it out. It's not a dress. Like, I mean, and then it's like, you know, I like simple things. Oh, okay. You know, I'm flying you to this thing. Is it first class? Yeah, of course. Where are we staying? I'm like, Four Seasons. Oh, that's nice. I was walking through the hotel lobby. I saw these earrings that I would love to have. And I'm like, all right, can I have them? You're like, sure. Gets them. And then she's like, I kind of don't want these. And you're like, wait a minute. Like, so what you learn, like with my mom, it's that it's about the get. Like I it's like almost like an addiction where it's like, I want the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then she gets the thing and she's like, oh, I want another thing.
Oh, so it's very like, that's hard to fulfill.
It was like this growing up where she's like, I went to like TJ Maxx today and I bought these 10 things on clearance for like $1.50 each. And you're like, okay,
all right,
good for you.
Yeah.
And the next day you're like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm going back to TJ Maxx to return all those things. It's like this chase, you know? And that, or she goes like, can I get this thing, these shoes? And you're like, all right. And then she gets them and she's like, oh, well, like that was I got them.
Mm.
The dopamine kind of fades away. And she's like, I need like a new check. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
And then she sees me as just like the fucking central bank.
Mm.
So she's just like, what else can I get?
And I'm
like,
and because you're your son, you're like, how do I say no?
Yeah. You know? I mean, I just, sometimes I'm just like, you're out of your mind. Get out. I don't even answer her, you know?
Oh, that's how I was about the houses. She sent more and more. She was like, all of them were like, $2 million and above. And I was like, you don't need this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stop being ridiculous for a moment. Which caught me so off guard because my mom is, I don't think she, I wish she had more of that actually. I wish she wanted more.
Really?
She's so simple. She doesn't really ask for anything that isn't essential to her. Like hearing aids or something like
really?
That. Yeah, she wears hearing aids. She's had like some dental problems and stuff like that. So I've gotten her like new teeth and stuff. So she doesn't ask for anything extravagant. She doesn't ask for any experiences or trips, which is what I wish she asked for more. I try to get her to do experience more stuff
because
I feel like she doesn't live much, which is what I want for my family.
You'll get her to do some of those things, I bet.
I think so. Like
maybe
she just,
if you do some of them together too.
She flew to LA like the summer before COVID for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so excited to take her around to see all the touristy things. And
yeah.
A lot of people don't realize there's not a lot to do in LA as a tourist.
Right.
There's like the key 5 to 7 things that you're like, okay, Hollywood Boulevard, Santa Monica Pier. Maybe the Griffith Observatory or something like that. But you can do all that in a weekend. After that, there's not much else to do. I took her to go do all those things, and she was all, I took her to Hollywood Boulevard. She goes, it's not like the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
I go, nah.
And this is it.
It's not. Yeah. She's not impressed by much.
Sure.
So I wish she wanted to go do more things, but she doesn't express what those interests are. I don't know what a lot of my mom's interests or like wants are.
Interesting.
And I wish I did, but she also might not have any. Some people are just so blue collar that like their whole life is wake up, go to your 9 to 5, come home, cook dinner, watch TV every day for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You're so happy with that.
Yeah. I mean, but also like, you know, maybe getting some of the opportunities presented will change some of those things.
Yeah,
you know?
Very well could be.
I mean, it could be like, you know, hey mom, you ever been to Hawaii or something?
Yeah. You ever been naked skydiving?
There you go. You ever get banged from the skydiving instructor from behind?
I don't want to think about that.
She's like, actually, that's a very cool idea.
Actually, I'll tell you just how.
I would love to open up the chute above a barn with horses and then.
Oh my God, I'm going to fucking throw up. I'll tell you how white trash and non-extroverted my mom is. Like this is how bad she is at going outside and talking to other people.
Yeah.
She just found out maybe a year ago that her current boyfriend used to be her second cousin.
Used to be?
Yeah. Through marriage.
Oh, okay.
And that marriage got divorced.
Okay.
But I was like, there's 8 billion people in the world.
You just found this out.
Gotta fuck this guy?
Yeah.
who you might have met at some point in your life before.
Probably. How long have they been together now?
Like 2 years, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
So do they, are they grasping, like your mom especially, what's happening with you? Like they get it?
I think they know I have, like, I think they know I'm doing well.
Yeah.
But I don't think they understand, like, the full extent.
Yeah, don't tell them.
What do you mean?
Don't explain to them exactly what. Just let them.
Well, it's like, hard because it's like who do I revel in the accomplishments with? You know, it has to be my friends.
Yeah,
my mom doesn't get it at all.
Don't break it down for her. She'll be like, "Oh, get me that fucking barn." Like, yeah.
Dude, by the way, you know what she settled for instead of the horses? Goats.
Oh, she's got goats now?
She wants goats, so eventually she'll get some fucking goats.
You're going to believe me, you don't want her to know. Don't just be like, I'm working.
I just want her to be proud for the right reasons.
Yeah, I'm sure she is, man. I mean, it's got to be, you know, it's got to be a thrill. Like, I have kids that are young, but it's got to be so thrilling for a parent to see that happen.
How many kids do you have?
Two.
How
boys.
Old?
They're boys. 5 and 7.
5, 7. And what are their interests at this age?
The 7-year-old likes video games. He likes Roblox, Minecraft.
Okay.
He's really into that stuff.
That's all very normal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Little math whiz. He's a cool, eccentric kind of kid. Like, great.
Autistic?
Personality. Not autistic, no.
No, okay. Just good at stuff? Okay.
Just good at stuff. And then the 5-year-old, it's just cars. It is cars.
There's the autism. Got it. Got it.
Cars. And I thought I liked cars as a kid. This dude gets into cars, turns them on. Like, and people are like, turns them on. He's like, is there a clutch? And then he just pushes the clutch, turns the car on, revs the engine, turns it off. He's like, what other cars you got? He gets on.
Really?
We went to a place, he turned on 40 cars. And the guy was like, what the fuck is happening?
Where'd you go? There's 40 cars.
It was like a car dealership, you know, and they were like, he's turning on every car. I go, if you let him, yeah. Yeah.
He's co-signing on this.
He will start every car.
Does he have a favorite car?
The funny thing is, I go like, what's your favorite car? He's like, Toyota. And I go,
he just knows name brands.
Yeah, he knows like 40 names from their emblems. And he's like, oh, there's a Subaru. I'm like, Jesus, how do you know this shit? But he goes, I go, what's your favorite car? He's like, Toyota. He's like, will you get one? I go, no, way above a Toyota.
He has no concept that he can do better than Toyota.
I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? You see my cars. What are you talking about? Toyota. He's like, I love Toyota.
So
I'm like,
that's okay. That's so funny. I love that he's nerdy about it at such a young age.
Loves it. It is the only thing he gives a shit about.
Really?
Totally.
That's autism, man. Yep. 100%. Have you had him tested?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did have him tested?
No.
Come on, man.
No,
I'm
he's
curious.
No, he's. I don't think he's autistic. He's pretty like. Because he likes cars that much?
Yeah, man. Too concentrated on one thing is a little concerning. Like, he's
really?
He's either autistic, which is awesome, or he's working on a manifesto.
Cramp. Oh, fuck.
Cramp right now?
Yeah, hamstring cramp. Fuck. God, I know.
And you have a baseball on the back of your leg?
No, I'm holding it. Hamstring just cramped up. We did deadlifts right before I came here.
By the way, you look great, man.
Thanks, bro.
You look fantastic.
Thanks,
man. How much are you down over the past, like, year?
The past year, probably like around 40 pounds or something.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
What made you want to make that change?
Just being sick of it.
Of just being fat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just like, or just being like, you know, you feel like unfulfilled potential. Like, you're just like, I know I could do better.
Yeah.
You know, and you're always, it's bothering you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
But you're like, I'd like to do, but you do like these half-ass versions of it.
Yeah.
You know, eat clean for like a week or two or like work out for 5 days.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I don't know, you just write back to your thing. So it was just like, I just want to address this. So it was just like slowly going after something, you know?
Now, do you feel like it's affected you on stage, like being in better shape, or because you're so established, you've been established as a comedian, people already respect your comedy?
I don't think.
Like, do you get any shit being like, "Oh, Tom's changed. He got skinny now.
Yes,
he's trying to be something else now." Like,
yeah, but
I
completely dismiss and ignore that, like 100%.
Good.
You know? I mean, yeah, it's usually dudes,
which is insane.
Yeah, they go, "Bring back fat Tom."
Why?
Because they go like That's when I found you, or that's why I liked you more than you were funny. I'm like, this is nonsense. You know?
Because of the way I look, that's fucking insane.
It's nonsense. I mean, I'll never entertain it. I don't pay any mind to it. I don't respond to it.
You're better than I am. Dude, really? I'll copy and paste tour dates in a comment section and be like, pull up, pussy. Like, I'm waiting to fight somebody at a venue. I can't fucking wait.
Okay.
Cannot fucking wait, dude.
You gotta let that go, dude.
I know that's me being 27 and egotistical, but it's just like, I can't stay. I threatened to fuck somebody's grandma one time.
For talking shit?
I DM'd her.
Because she said some shit to you?
The grandson said some shit to me.
What'd he say?
I was in Chicago. It was summer of 2021, and he just started going in on, you know, typical shit. You're not funny, not funny, not funny, all this kind of shit. And I had time.
Yeah.
Which is
a
huge misconception, by the way. When people's instinctual rebuttal on the internet is go, oh, you have all this time to respond to people. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I woke up at 4 p.m., didn't have to work till 8. Yeah. I have so much time.
I have time.
Right? Yeah. So we start to go back and forth, and he's saying all this mean shit. So I go to his profile, obviously, which is what you do.
Yeah.
When you have an online beef, you go, I got to find some ammo.
Yeah.
And he had posted a picture with his grandma. And I was in Chicago. And he also happened to be in Chicago. So I DM'd his grandma like the nastiest, freakiest shit I could think of, like trying to smash. Like I was like, I'm going to come in your IV. Like the nastiest shit I could think of.
Yeah.
Like deliver some deep dick pizza, whatever Chicago puns I could think of.
Sure.
And he was fucking livid. Dude. He was like, I'm going to fucking find you. I'm going to fly to one of your shows. And I was like, cool, I'll buy you two tickets, one for you and your grandma. I'll just come through, dude.
Yeah,
his grandma never answered it, but I was like, I wanted his family to know that they raised
they
a fucking pussy.
Yeah. I did one time, a guy was like, you're fat or something. So I went to his profile and the picture was him and his mom.
Oh.
And his mom was a pretty big lady. So I just wrote to him, I go, is the pig in your profile your mother? And he wrote back, LOL. And I was like, is that a yes? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, so you have you're dishing this out and that's the fucking person that bred you,
a
literal fucking animal.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That was fun, you know.
Dude, the courage of people on the internet is
of course
fucking,
and they don't want
unbelievable
any of this. I'll
nah,
tell you
dog.
Right
show
now.
Them. Show them what happens.
What's up, dog? You don't want this.
It's
shit.
Nuts, man. Just trolls that live at home talking the most amount of shit.
Of course. But that's what I'm saying is that, like, you know, people say whatever, like all this stuff. I don't know, dude. You got like, I'm focused on all these other things.
Yeah.
And I go like, I really don't have time. I don't want to entertain it. I'm like, okay. Like,
yeah. I don't know. I don't know why I can't.
You will. You'll let it go because it's going to be the more you're working and the more opportunities you get and the more things you have going on, you'll realize you have less time and less interest in responding and engaging.
It just makes it hard to navigate who you want to be, I think, because if so many people think you're this and expect you to be this,
let me ask
it's
you
really
this,
hard
though.
To not turn into that.
Let me ask
you go,
this,
well, if you're gonna think I'm an asshole anyway, why don't I just be an asshole?
But
if I'm being nice and you already think I'm an asshole,
you're having this incredible success, right? And then you think about like Taylor Swift, Tom Cruise, somebody with an enormous fan like following.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if someone's like, Taylor Swift, your music sucks, do you think that she's like, I need to fucking engage this person?
Yeah.
No, right? Why? Because she's like, I have better things to do. I'm doing a stadium tonight and then another one tomorrow. And I'm like, I'm focused on my work. Hey, Tom Cruise, your movie sucks. Okay.
Yeah.
I have fucking five more in production coming. Like, you know, there's a point where you're just going to be like, yeah, I'm a pretty busy guy with a lot going on.
Yeah.
And if you think I suck, God bless. I got things to do.
I think it's just scary how much power those kind of people do have because there's a subculture of cancel culture. Like getting canceled is due to something you did or at least allegedly did. Right.
Right.
But there's a subculture of people who like you didn't do anything wrong, but people just don't like you enough that they go, let's all collectively get together. If we all just talk about how much we fucking hate this person so much, it'll spread. I'll give an example of that, and it's really not fair, and I'm guilty of it, is like I met John Mayer the other night, right, mm-hmm. at MSG with Chappelle.
Yeah.
And I'd never met him before. I wasn't the most familiar with his music, but all I'd ever heard
Great
was that he was a douchebag.
Oh, really?
I had heard he was an asshole and a douchebag the entire time. So my impression of him, but without knowing him, was I was like,
this guy's
he's an asshole. Like, I don't know if I want to meet him or whatever. And he came up to me. It was the nicest guy ever.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy, I immediately felt such guilt that I had any kind of preconceived notion of him whatsoever. But it realized, I was like, that shit spreads. People not liking you is contagious.
Mm-hmm.
Even if there's for no reason whatsoever. And that's the kind of stuff that can make its way to not just regular people who are going to come out, who were thinking about coming out to shows. And then somebody told them I was an asshole and they go, oh, well then maybe I don't want to spend the money to come see him. And that can make its way into studio heads and networks.
But
and
can I tell you something?
People don't like him. So.
I'll tell you something about that though. Mm. You have zero control over that. Zero. You have zero control over what people say about you, especially when your profile grows and is at a large, here's what you do control: who you are as a person, mm-hmm. how hard you work at your craft, how you treat people.
Yeah.
Like those things you do control. So if everyone's like, Matt's an asshole, he's a cunt of a person, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, you know what? I'm nice to people. I treat people with respect. Then you know that that narrative is a false narrative. And the most you can do, best you can do is ignore it and keep being a good person. Keep treating people well.
Yeah.
Keep putting on the best shows you can put on. And that's who you are. You're not who people say you are. You know who you are.
Yeah. I think I need to focus less on how can I get everybody on my side and get everybody to like, rather than just being like, okay, if I have, let's say 16 million people that follow me on TikTok, I have 16 million fans on this thing, right?
Yeah.
Why don't I just focus on pleasing those people who have given me the career that I've had?
I mean, it's like, you know what? When people are like, you suck, I think the thing to really think is you go, there's some people that think I'm pretty great. And guess what? I'm going to play to them.
Yeah.
I'm going to play to them and enjoy this experience with them. And these people who are like, you're the worst, be like, all right, there's a whole bunch of other people. I hope you find someone you enjoy.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, enjoy what you have.
Yeah. The only thing I've been focused on is like, I would love to get more guy fans and they're coming in. They're trickling in slowly but surely. And I love it.
I'll send some your way.
Paul, for the love of God.
Send some of that hot tail over here. Matt has a Netflix special coming out in November called Natural Selection.
Yeah.
You're going to shoot it in...
I'm shooting it end of September, September 22nd and 23rd in Washington, D.C.
At the Constitution Hall.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing place.
So
amazing.
Excited, man.
It's so cool. Very happy for you.
Thank you, man.
All your success. So much going on. Don't lose your mind. Don't get AIDS. Have fun out there. Get your mom those horses.
Oh, dude.
No, it was really fun. Thanks for coming by today, dude. It was a great time.
Thank you, man. It was great to chat with you.
Yeah,
I
hope we do it again. All right, see you guys next week.
Bert and Tom, Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.